Welcome and thank you for joining us for the Divine Service broadcast live from St. Paul's Lutheran Church of Oconomowoc, where Christ is in all things as we receive and give the love and hope of Christ. Pastor O'Donnell preaches the sermon, A Radical Mercy. The Reverend Dr. Richard Thompson is our lector.
The Old Testament lesson for our consideration this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning at verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call on heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Paul's letter to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own free will. For this, perhaps, is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what kind of king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use, either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Based on St. Paul's letter to Philemon and Jesus' call to a radical mercy in Luke 14, I appeal to you in Christ to come with me this morning into a reflection on one of the most difficult things in life, family conflict. And friends, I don't honestly know how to be objective or impersonal about this. I know certain clergy professionals argue for a more professional distance type of approach with their parishioners, kind of like a modern doctor or a counselor, but I honestly don't know how you can possibly get professional distance, for example, from St. Paul's letter to Philemon. Consider this. "I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me your very own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers I will be graciously given to you." How's that for professional distance? Think about it for a moment. St. Paul is asking an important man named Philemon, who was a patron and a partner in the Lord's mission, but who had been betrayed by his servant Onesimus. Paul is asking Philemon to receive Onesimus back into his household without penalty. In fact, he's asking Philemon to receive him back as a brother in Christ and to set him free permanently. A man who had betrayed Philemon. And then St. Paul says, basically, "By the way, I need you to put me up for a few days when I come to your home." So much for professional distance between the pastors and their parishioners. How about this one from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2? "But we," that is Paul and his missionary companions, "we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our very own selves, because you had become very dear to us." I cannot be impersonal about this subject. And quite frankly, I think it's detrimental to you in body and soul to be impersonal about this with me. So many of our families, so many of our families are deeply fractured. Christian families, families who know the grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, families who have been buried and raised with Christ in holy baptism, family members who receive the eternal body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ for their forgiveness. These family members are so hurt, so betrayed, so disgusted, so disappointed that they will not even talk to one another, let alone eat a meal together. They do not go to family weddings or family funerals or family reunions. On that note, and in light of what the Lord Jesus teaches in Luke 14 today, I want you to think for a moment about what goes on every Lord's Day at this altar. In his teaching on the cost of discipleship in Luke 14 and in his teaching throughout the Gospels, a teaching that is carried forward by the apostles in the New Testament, Jesus makes clear that worship of him is a first commandment issue. You shall have no other gods. We are to fear, love, and trust in Christ alone for our life and salvation. The only thing that should really divide our families, the only thing that must be a cause for true division, a hate is the way Jesus puts it in Luke 14, is when a family member would compel or force us to deny Christ. To deny Christ is the sin against the Holy Spirit about which Jesus speaks in Matthew 12. Even then, consider this. Consider the number of Christ deniers that Jesus hosted at meals during his public ministry. Consider the number of people, including his own apostles, who would betray him, and yet constantly Jesus met and worked with them to lead them to repentance. Think about the pagan Gentiles who were crucifying him and for whom Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Think about Peter. Peter who said, "I will never betray you." And that night, three times, denied that he even knew who Jesus was. Think about Jesus, who after his atoning death for the sins of the whole world, after his glorious resurrection, how he deliberately did a threefold forgiveness of Peter and restored him to his apostolic ministry. Think about yourself. Many of you came here last week or the week before, confessed your sins, and received the holy absolution. You made the sign of the cross and remembered your baptism. You came to this altar and received the true body and blood of Jesus Christ for your forgiveness, and you were reconciled by God himself as his precious bride, the church. And then what did you do? What did we do? We went out, most of us, and committed words and deeds of unfaithfulness. We spent beyond our means, and so we had nothing to support the work of the gospel. We lied to our parents about what we were doing. We gossiped about our classmates or coworkers. We said to someone, "We're praying for you," and then quietly behind their back whispered about them and didn't pray at all. We committed all kinds of acts of ecclesiastical adultery and betrayal, and I'm not making light of this. This is a big deal. Our idolatry and gluttony and stealing and lying and coveting is a betrayal of the God who loves us. And then we come back here today, and if you didn't realize it at the confession at the beginning of the service, perhaps you're realizing it right now, that we have been unfaithful to the one, to Christ, who has been totally faithful to us. And yet, as he did throughout the Gospels, when he gathered with tax collectors and sinners today, the Lord Jesus welcomes each and every one of us. Jesus, the Son of God, died for you and rose from the dead for you. He gave you the holy absolution. He gives you his word right now. In just a few minutes, the crucified and risen Lord of the universe gives his body and blood to all those who come and trust this word of forgiveness that is for them. Christ gives us a radical mercy. And he calls from us, in his name, the same. A radical mercy toward others, perhaps especially in this, and this is where it gets hard, perhaps especially toward those who have hurt us most. Now, of course, I'm not arguing that you should put yourself in physical danger. You know what I'm talking about. We're talking about practicing reconciliation, especially in our families. And again, I cannot be impersonal about this. And I cannot ask you to do something that I am unwilling to do. Later this year, I will begin my 14th year as your senior pastor. And as many of you know, about this time every year, I leave for a few days to go to a family reunion and golf outing with the men of my family. I come from a big Roman Catholic family. This reunion among the men in my family has taken place every year since 1981. It is a reunion that my late father and his brothers began. The reunion was and is the means by which distant cousins become brothers. We live thousands of miles away from one another, and yet by means of this event, we are a family. As many of you know, I wasn't really raised in the faith, but late in my junior year of high school, I started dating this little Lutheran girl, and occasionally I went to church with her family. And early in my freshman year of college, I formally became a Lutheran. But then the little Lutheran girl dumped me. Later, I fell away from the faith. Fell away quite hard, actually. And then after my father died, I started wandering back toward the church, and to my surprise, when I was 23, I became a Lutheran again. That wasn't such a big deal for my extended family. But then I started talking about being a Lutheran pastor. And then I got married to Carrie, and that wedding made clear that the Lutheran thing was for real. And a year later, we moved to Fort Wayne so I could attend the seminary to study to be a Lutheran pastor. That was a big deal to many in my Roman Catholic family. For many, it was a disappointment at some level. For those who took their faith very seriously, my becoming a Lutheran pastor was a betrayal, or pretty close to it. And yet, I always got invited to the family reunion. I always got invited to the weddings. I always got invited to the funerals. And I don't take that for granted. I'm a very serious Lutheran, a Lutheran of the unaltered Augsburg Confession, which means that though we share the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer, there are serious church divisive differences between Lutherans and Roman Catholics. And every year, I get invited to the family reunion. And now that he is eligible, I get to go with my son and my son-in-law. And if God wills it, in a few years, I get to go with my youngest son. And I don't take that for granted. It is a grace extended to me and to my family. So many of you have family members who don't get invited to the family reunion or the weddings or the funerals. Some of you are so hurt, so betrayed, so disgusted, so disappointed that you will not even talk to one another, let alone eat a meal together. And so I speak to you and to your Christian families. The word of the Lord through St. Paul in Romans 12. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves. Leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Which is to say, Christ gives a radical mercy to us, and he calls from us the same. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, you have reconciled us to God by your precious blood, forgiving us and adopting us into your eternal family. Every day we prodigals return to you, and you receive us, forgive us, and give us life. So teach us to love you above all things. Help us in our families to forgive one another and be reconciled to one another, letting only devilish rejection of your grace divide us. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to the live broadcast of the 8 a.m. Divine Service from St. Paul's Evangelical Lutheran Church School and Early Childhood Center, 210 East Pleasant Street, Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, 53066. Our weekend worship services are 5 p.m. on Saturday evening, 8 and 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. Thank you for joining us.